from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The game. Welcome back. No Mark Willard today. He'll be back on Wednesday. It's Dan Dibley and Mark Grandy with you here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game, reacting to everything Steph Curry did over the weekend, over the last couple of weeks for Team USA in the Olympics in Paris. And we're going to catch up with Bob Fitzgerald about it all coming up in just a little bit. We'll get him on the line coming up in just a moment. But Dibs, there's no doubt this will be a moment that we remember for a really long time. Hopefully, I think one of our callers hit the nail on the head talking about this as a bittersweet moment, because there's a chance, potentially, we spent the last half hour talking about how it might be difficult for these Warriors and for Steph Curry potentially to reach that stage once again, at least the NBA's version of that stage. Bittersweet, because it might be one of the last times we get to see a performance like that from Steph at that kind of level.
Yes, you hope not. I mean, you hope that the Warriors can, you know, figure out how to get from where they were last year, play-in team, to a playoff team. And if they're a playoff team with Steph Curry, I don't count them out of any series, because he can do what he did. Yeah. You know, 2 days ago, he can do that in a big game and propel this team.
Yeah, well, you got Steph. You have a trump card that not many other teams have. And I know someone who knows that very well is on the line with us right now. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And that is none other than voice of the Golden State Warriors on NBC Sports Bay Area, Bob Fitzgerald. Bob, it's Mark Randy in for Mark Willard alongside Dan Dibley. Thanks for joining us. How you doing? And welcome back from Paris, Bob.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're doing great. I know you've been back stateside for a while now. You were busy over the weekend working for another team in town. But what was the experience like for you getting to call another Olympic Games, this time out in Paris?
Well, I mean, six Olympics, and they're all different. And I've done everything from swimming in Atlanta to men's and women's water polo in Beijing, where the United States, you know, made the gold medal in both those games. And then the other four Olympics are all basketball, which is more in the wheelhouse. But I love the Olympics. And, you know, I love the success that the men and women of the United States have had in basketball, because I was there in 2004 watching Carlos Arroyo and Puerto Rico beat the United States, that spawned the Redeem Team in 2008. meet. And, you know, then London was super fun for me getting to work with Doug Collins and Craig Sager, and, you know, then Tokyo with Vince Carter, and then doing the Olympics this year. I ended up having, you know, so many fun games, like Serbia, Australia in the quarterfinals went overtime, and Germany and Greece, and had Giannis a bunch of times and Serbia a bunch of times. So, you know, it's a challenge, but it's fun, and it's a sport I love, and you realize, you know, what a global game it is, and you're always appreciative that for all the national stuff when they call and keep calling to give you an opportunity, and then getting back in the United States, and, you know, and then going to Nashville to do the 49ers on Saturday was kind of a, you know, a weird left turn, but still fun to do that because I love the NFL and I love the Niners.
Yeah, and it was good to hear you with your old buddy KT, and it had me getting some SaberCats feels, Bob, which is, you know, something
nice.
That maybe only you and I can appreciate back to the mid-aughts when you were doing the play-by, and Keenan was the
analyst.
Keenan's
one of my best friends, so, I mean, selfishly, I love Kyle, I love John Lynch, Jed York, and but, you know, getting to hang with Keenan Turner, you know, and call games and be around the Niners, and just what a special season I think they have in front of them, all that's just awesome, you know, every which way.
Yeah, and fun for me, because it did make me flash back to, I don't even want to say how many years ago, Bob, because you and I were both younger then, but I was doing the pre and post, and he introduced me to KT, and I kind of feel like he's one of my best friends too, because he's that good of a guy. But I just want to get your thoughts and impressions on what you saw from the man that you dubbed the baby-faced assassin, and, you know, the human torch and the rest of it. When you see Steph Curry take over in that moment, was it kind of an awakening for the entire world to see what we've all seen for so many years?
Well, you know, I get defensive about Steph, because what I don't like is, you know, I think he gets fouled all the time in the NBA and gets very little love. I think he's doubted way too much. You know, I was with him early on, you know, in terms of, oh, his ankles are never going to hold up and he's never going to be anything. And, you know, he always says the work will eventually show out. So if you look at the first four games of the Olympics, he had 12 points total, 12 points. And you had the, well, why is he even on the team, and it's his only Olympics, and he shouldn't be playing, and he's only in there because Steve likes him, and that stuff makes me mad. You know, so it's on the semis. I was like, yeah, 36. Let me put that on your head. You know, and then in the gold medal game when France is threatening, you know, four straight threes, and it's just like, don't doubt this man. You know, and Steph said it in 2022 when they beat Boston, and, you know, that incredible game in Boston in the Garden in game four that kind of turned that series around, is, what are you going to say now? Like, what do you have left to say now? And so, you know, all the things he has to deal with, when all he is a good guy and a good dad and a good brother and a good golfer and a good son and a great player and a great face of the franchise, like, what are you going to say now? Like, and so that's the, I get very fired up in defense of Steph Curry. So for me, I enjoyed the hell out of it. It did not surprise me. And I don't think this guy's nearly, you know, if he's not at the peak of his powers, he's still damn good, and people need to appreciate it. Because when he's gone, he's going to be gone, and we're never going to get to see this kind of shooter maybe ever again.
Bob Fitzgerald with us here on 95.7 The Game on Willard and Dibbs on the River Islands guest line. Bob, you've been to a number of Olympics, and you were obviously out there for the majority of this one in Paris. I think maybe one of the disconnects between basketball fans, NBA fans, and then fans of watching Team USA in the Olympics is, well, Team USA is just expected to win. Winning is kind of like holding serve or getting par. It's nothing incredibly special because of the talent gap that USA has over these other countries. And obviously, the game is becoming much more global, as you pointed out earlier. But being around these players for a number of Olympics and being able to experience what that's like, how much does this and does representing USA, representing the United States, and winning gold for their country mean for these world-class athletes who have already reached, you know, world championships in the NBA? Because I feel like there's a lot of us out there who feel like, well, it's cool, but it doesn't quite mean as much as winning the NBA Finals. But based on how Steph reacted, on how KD reacted, LeBron, and all those guys who have done so much in this game, this accomplishment felt like it meant just as much as almost anything else those guys have done in their careers.
Yeah, I think the thing that, you know, maybe fans don't really realize, and, you know, they don't get into how the sausage is made, but these guys don't get paid. So you're not getting paid. You can't lose. You know, like, you can't lose. That's, if you lose, you're a failure. If you lose, oh my God, the United States lost. What kind of pressure is that? You know, they don't, in a seven-game series in the NBA playoffs, you have a bad game, you have a clunker, and all of a sudden you keep going with the series. And if you made the NBA finals and you lose in the finals, hey, you made the finals. What a great year. But for no money, 45 days, you know, because they had training camp in Vegas, and then they went to Abu Dhabi, and then they went to London, and then they went to Lille, which is 140 miles outside of Paris, and then they went to Paris. And to do all that, no money, all the pressure in the world, can't lose, and to come through, that's where that exultation and fun is. But it's also a lot of pride in what USA basketball represents. And, you know, the thing people don't realize, and that's okay because everybody's recency bias, but, you know, in 2000 in Sydney, we, the United States, won the gold medal by 2 points. You know, and then in London against Spain, you know, you win by 7 points. And in Tokyo 3 years ago, we won by 5 points. Like, it's not like this is new that the world is coming. You know, they won this gold medal again by 11. This wasn't even as close as previous Olympics. And so that's – the world's here. You know, Serbia and Germany and France and Canada, these teams are here. So that's going to make L.A. even more interesting. So when you saddle up and say, I'm going to wear Team USA – You're walking the tightrope, you know, suspended over the Grand Canyon, and you can't fall. And that's a lot of pressure that most guys in sports don't face, that, you know, situation. And you're playing a different game with a different ball and different dimensions and different rules and different officiating. And that isn't our game. That's the FIBA game. And these other countries sometimes play that better than us.
And just real quick on that, Bob, because I am loving the FIBA rules and the 40-minute games and, you know, the way that they officiate it. There's no ability to flop. There's no calls that are just given. What do you make of the way the game is played internationally from a rule standpoint?
Well, I think you're onto a few things, Dibs, in terms of, you know, the court's a little shorter and it's a little more narrow. That's not that big a deal. The shorter three-point line at 22 feet or so instead of 23.9, I'm not for that. That's 22 feet's almost a little too easy. The small ball, the molten ball, is kind of weird. It's lighter. It feels different. But the officiating to where the contact creates an advantage, like, That's old school. You know, nothing wrong with a little bump and grind. You know, let's get rid of the bad breath and fingernail fouls and the constant stoppages and all the free throws and, you know, all the James Harden snap your head back and all this gift free throw crap. I love that it's, you know, a little more physical in FIBA, within reason. I love the TV replays. They make the TV sign. These guys go right there. We mic up the refs, and you can hear them talk about it and make a decision. I think that's pretty cool. I'm not for the 10-minute quarters only because it would pay everyone a lot less. They need the time for the commercials and the stoppages. But calling games, they seem to go by real fast, so that's not the end of the world. No, it's a little different flavor of ice cream, but I think it still tastes good. So to me, I enjoy it. I don't know if I'd want to see it every single day, but there's a lot to like about it for sure.
Fitz, these Olympics are kind of like an opportunity for players, kind of like the All-Star game, for all these stars that maybe haven't shared the court together to be able to be teammates and play together. And I don't know how you felt, but watching Steph and LeBron on the court together when they had spent the vast majority of the last decade as adversaries playing against each other in the finals and in playoff series all these years. You also throw in Kevin Durant, a teammate of Steph Curry again, and you called so many great moments with Steph and KD on the floor together. What was it like being able to watch those three in particular together? And maybe the last time that those three will all be Olympians. Who knows what's going to happen in LA in 4 years, but I imagine that was emotional for them and amazing to watch for you, because those three are three of the best to ever play this game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys like Western movies like Tombstone and stuff like that, but to me it's like, is that Wyatt Earp and Billy the Kid and Doc Holliday and all the gunslingers from the OK Corral are all coming together to face off against? I loved Steph, KD, and LeBron. oh my God, like the three of those guys together. And while people will marvel at Steph shooting the last two games, and it was incredible, man, was LeBron James something else. Like, from the exhibition games all the way through the tournament, at age 39, to do everything LeBron has done. And it was LeBron calling Steph a year ago. LeBron had, you know, I did LeBron's last gold medal game. I mean, he won a gold medal in 2012 in London, and I've done KD's last couple gold medal games. He normally scores 29 or 30 in the gold medal when it matters, and I called him Captain America in Tokyo. But for LeBron to call Steph and go, hey, man, you know, what do you think, Paris, Olympics, you up for it? And Steph's like, if you're in, I'm in, and that was it. So, and then KD's like, I'm always playing for the United States. He's now the only man with four gold medals, you know, for our country. For those guys all to play and to play well and to play together, yeah, to me it was like the great gunslingers of the Old West, all three of them getting together when it mattered most to, you know, save the day. So I loved every part of that. And I know those guys did too, because there's friendships and respect and relationships, and we needed all three of them, you know, to kind of get over the finish line.
No doubt, especially in the semi, as I was telling Grandy earlier, the three of them kind of tag-teamed their way to lead them back from down 13 in the fourth quarter. And we've talked a lot about Steph Curry and the adrenaline of the moment and chasing a championship and the gold medal and all the rest of it. What are they doing, Bob, the Golden State Warriors, to try to get their roster into a spot, not necessarily right away this year, but in the Steph Curry window? How do they get back to that spot where Steph Curry can have those types of moments again where he feels like he's chasing a chip?
I think that's a great question. And, you know, I'm going to use the Serbia fourth quarter to get into it. Serbia had made five threes in each of the first three quarters. They went 0-for-9 in the fourth quarter on threes, and a bunch of them were wide open. And the point is, you need luck sometimes in sports. You just need luck. You need good fortune. And if you look at the NBA titles, we've had six different winners the last 6 years. And so did anyone see Dallas going to the finals this year? No, you know, but they made a trade midseason, everything kind of clicked, and they were fortunate. And when the Warriors won it in 2022, they never saw Giannis on the other side of the bracket. They never saw Phoenix. Like, they were fortunate, and they were good. And it's okay to be fortunate and good. And so when I look at the Warriors and the way the West is right now, if you give me Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and then I've got Pajemski and Kuminga and Trayce Jackson-Davis, and now, more importantly, Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton, I've got a pretty good team that can play really with anybody. And other than Draymond missing 27 games last year, the Warriors were, they should have been a 50-52 win team, which is right what Dallas was, 50 wins. And then you get into a playoff series. And you know what a team has to do? They have to beat Steph Curry four times out of seven. And given where the institutional winning, the coaching of Steve Kerr, the talent level of this team, they would need some good fortune. But why not be in the mix with Minnesota, with OKC? Denver had a chance to go high, but in the last year they've lost Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Jeff Green. You know, I mean, these are big losses. Bruce Brown. So you look at, is Dallas good? They are. Is OKC good? They are. Is Minnesota good? Yes. Is Denver good? Yes. But so are the Warriors, and so are the Suns. So we're in a different era of the NBA right now. Boston's at a new level. They re-sign everybody. They're amazing. I'll throw a blanket over the next seven or eight teams and say, given good fortune or given the right trajectory, any one of those seven or eight can be in the mix. And those are the big games you're talking about to see Steph on the biggest stage. I don't think his days on the biggest stage are over. I really don't. I always thought they had one more run in them and they won the title in 2022. There will be important playoff games to come, you know, but the step up will be for Kuminga and Pajemski and Trayce to help Melton, Kyle Anderson, and Hield to get to the Hall of Famers of Steph and Draymond. They're going to need everybody on board, you know, to be as good as they can possibly be.
Bob Fitzgerald, voice of the Warriors, with us here on Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game. Fitz, there's no one better to ask this question to, having chronicled in Steph Curry's entire career. I know we still have, hopefully, a number of good years left with Steph Curry in the NBA and as a Golden State Warrior, but when it's all said and done, that fourth and final three that he made down the stretch to seal the deal, as Noah Eagle, your colleague, put it, the golden dagger, where do you think that will stand as signature shots in Steph Curry's career? There's so many that come to mind. I think of, obviously, there were some moments in the finals against the Celtics, both Game 4 and Game 6 stand out. There was the three he hit over Anthony Davis in the corner.
The first round of that 2015.
There was the three-quarter court shot he hit in the next round against Memphis in that sealer.
Yep.
I mean, where does this one stand? It's on a different stage. It's a gold medal match. There's so many to choose from. But when it's all said and done, where do you think that moment will rank among Steph's best?
It's going to be, you know, in the top 10. There's no doubt about it. I also would put the shot against the Knicks to break the all-time three-point record and just what that meant and what that felt like. But I'm going to go to the Anthony Davis corner three. You know, you had New Orleans. They elected not to foul. Warriors miss. Rebound Mo Spates. Find Steph in the corner. I mean, Anthony Davis has the wingspan of a pterodactyl. So... You know, how he got it over him, I have no idea. Anthony Davis completely landed on him and fouled him.
Right.
It should have been a four-point play. Steph never saw the ball once it left his hand, and it rainbowed perfectly in, and the Warriors won, and that kind of triggered the whole kind of playoff run. You know, and then you have the Memphis one where you want to talk about just taking a whole building away and with one shot from three-quarter court. You know, that's just, you got to be kidding me. So I've seen so many of them. You love it. You're never surprised by it. And you just appreciate it because you're watching greatness. And you just see, you know, we've seen, because they record everything now, you know, Steph make 91 corner threes warming up in Chicago at a random Tuesday practice. I mean, there's just stuff he does that defies kind of description. So, but no, that one, you know, and I love Noah's call. Mine would have been, there's a gold medal at the end of that rainbow. You know, type of thing. That's probably what I would have said. But
I love it.
You know, he gets in these moments, and you know, it's like, you know, two guys on it, doesn't matter. Like, he's made three in a row. Like, that is the Human Torch. Like, that thing is going in. And so it's fun to see that and feel it. And, you know, even his career high, the 62, you know, he had against Portland, you know, it was COVID, but which meant a lot of people were watching on TV, and it was a fun game to call. But he just gets in these moments where, man, a lot of people in this world have shot a basketball professionally, collegiately, high school, and all of us just randomly fooling around. This guy shoots a basketball better than anyone in the history of our planet, and we get to watch it. And that's something we should just never take for granted.
And I was even putting it in a hand-eye coordination space, Fitz, and I was thinking about the greatest hand-eye coordination athletes of all time, and I threw out Roger Federer, and you could talk about Barry Bonds, you know, being able to put bat to ball, and Steph Curry, the ability to not only to shoot it, because yes, to shoot the basketball in an NBA game is remarkable, but that picture that you saw from the gold medal game when Wemby's closing out on him, 7 foot whatever, with his arms straight up, and yet Steph is able to hoist it above and make it. I don't know who else you would put on your Rushmore of just hand-eye coordinated athletes, like Tiger Woods?
Well, I mean, the thing is with Steph is, you know, let's not even get into golf or ping pong,
right,
or softball or all the other things that he's so amazing at. The thing I would tell people, and he doesn't show it off enough, at some point we'll have to video the whole thing, his left-handed jumper is probably better than a third of the guys in the NBA.
Wow.
His left-handed jumper. Like if he, you know, hey, let's shoot threes left-handed or 20-footers left-handed. That's how good he is. So it defies description, you know, and that, you know, when I've played golf with him a number of times, fortunately, and you play with some pros and guys that are like on the tour, and they marvel at his golf swing, and that's hand-eye and stuff too. So I don't know. It's elite, 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 like in every level. And then you throw in just a relentless work ethic, just – thousands and thousands of shots and just superior fitness. And, you know, then all the other things he does philanthropically and he does as a dad and all, like, there's almost not enough hours in the day for, you know, the schedule he keeps kind of year round.
Last one for you, Bob, and then we'll let you get out of here. It was announced or reported earlier today that the Dallas Mavericks with Klay Thompson would return to the Bay Area November 12th. I know Steph and Steve have talked about how it hasn't really set in that Klay is no longer a Warrior. That reality will set in come training camp before the season begins. What will the emotions be like inside a Chase Center November 12th when Klay returns wearing a Mavericks jersey?
And it's going to be all love. It's going to be all love. Like, the Bay loves Klay. I love Klay. Everybody loves Klay. You can't have a sideways thought about Klay Thompson, like, in any way, shape, or form. There's going to be a statue in front of him in that Chase Center. It's going to be well-deserved. And, you know, I hope Klay goes for 50 in that game and the Warriors win by 1 point. You know, like, that would be how I would view it. But now, it's the ovation when he came back after 2 years of being injured was insane. The introduction for Klay and the video that the Warriors will show honoring him, I think, will equally be, you know, pretty incredible.
So you think the Boo Birds won't be out, Fitz? Is that what you're saying?
No. The one thing about Dub Nation, like, I'm getting ready for season 32.
Get out of here,
Warriors,
Fitz. You can't be that old. If you're that old, then I'm that old. God.
Yeah, but, you know, so I've seen it all. I've seen it from the, you know, making the playoffs one time in 18 years to six trips.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
To the finals and 4 titles and 4 parades and all that stuff. The one thing about Warrior fans is they are as classy and as loyal and as fierce as any group in sports in any city. And if you earn their love and respect, you never lose it. And so what I get a kick out of is even the last year, we had Monte Ellis come back and Jason Richardson come back and Baron Davis come back and Antoine Jamison come back, is that if you're part of Dub Nation, man, they embrace you. And it goes to Mo Spates and Leandro Barbosa and David West. And so Clay? I mean, are you kidding me? You know, Clay coming back? Like, that's – you can't hug that guy tight enough.
Yeah.
So that's going to be just an it's going to be an amazing night. Like I said, I hope he goes for 50 and the Warriors win by one.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that night for sure, and the whole season, and to listen to you on the call for another year. Bob, appreciate your time as always. We'll catch you up next time.
All right, guys, always available. Dibs, good hearing your voice. Now, it's easy if it's just Mark and Dibs. I can go Willard, I can go Grandy, I can just say Mark and I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. This is Mark with a C, which don't tell the other Mark, but we prefer Mark with a C.
Yes,
not a
sir.
K.
All right, guys. Good talking to you.
Right, thanks, Bob.
He's the best. Bob Fitzgerald with us here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Appreciate him taking out the time and joining us on the River Islands guest line. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we got to react to Fitz. He's confident in the Warriors in 2024. I'm not that surprised. We're sponsored by Life Source Water Systems. More Willard and Dibs next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
I mean, Mark, it's so good to hear y'all's voices. And Mr. Dibs, I mean, it's just been way too damn long. So it puts a smile on my face.
On 95.7 The Game.
That was Nick Friedell, obviously talking about Mark Willard. Not me, Mark Randy. Willard will be back on Wednesday here on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy and Dan Dibley with you. All guests, including Nick Friedell, when he does come on the station, they appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? That includes Bob Fitzgerald, who was just on with us last segment. Bob Fitzgerald hanging out for 20 minutes. Always very generous with his time. Hope he had a great time in Paris. It sounded like he did. Got to call a lot of action, including a bunch of Giannis games. Got to call Nikola Jokic games, some Germany games. Seemed like an awesome experience out in Paris. And I think Dibs, Fitz did a really good job of explaining what playing in the Olympics means to these American basketball players, because almost any era, ever since NBA players were allowed to participate in the Olympics, ever since then, Team USA has been the heavy favorites to win every single Olympic Games. Maybe some heavier than others, but they've been the favorites to win, and that's a lot of pressure to live up to. After you get past the group stage, where you could drop a game like they did last Olympics, they fell in the group stage to France, ultimately still won the gold medal. Once you get past the group stage, though, it's do or die. It's single elimination. It's consecutive game sevens over and over and over again. You slip up just once, and you're going to be labeled as the one USA team that didn't get the job done. And last time that happened, it led to the redeem team. There was a whole movement behind making sure that didn't happen again. They got the job done, but I can imagine that that pressure is not the easiest thing to deal with, and that's why we saw the emotional release from Steph and everybody else involved on Saturday once they won that game.
Yeah, and Fitz did a good job of, you know, kind of reminding us that it hasn't been a cakewalk every year. And, you know, you talk about the gold medal games that have gone by in recent vintage, and they've been somewhat close. They won by five in Tokyo, and, you know, it's been close. In London, they won by seven, and, you know, they won by 11 this time, but it was a lot closer than an 11-point game.
It felt a lot closer than that.
Right, and, you know, they were down by 17 to Serbia in the semifinal game, so the world is not coming. The world is here. And I mentioned before how many other, you know, Olympians there are in these Olympic Games outside of the U.S., something like that. And it's just every other country that was in the Games, they have a bunch of Olympians. I think Canada had 11, and, you know, Serbia had six, and France has six or seven. And so all these other countries now are not only competitive, it's a pretty level playing field, and I wonder, and I was going to ask Bob about 2028, but it felt like a conversation for a later date. But just thinking about this Olympic team, and you and I touched on it a little bit earlier, like, what's the next Olympic team going to look like? Because it feels like KD will be gone, LeBron would be gone, Steph would be gone. It feels like the changing of the tide will be here, and I wonder about, you know, the next group of Americans, if the youngsters are going to be good enough to be able to carry the water.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see for sure, because you're right, this is like, I don't know if you want to use the phrase, like the golden age of American basketball, but you have a trio like Steph, LeBron, and KD, who very likely, don't want to ever say never, but very likely probably won't be playing for Team USA in Los Angeles, although never put it past Kevin Durant. He's also a year younger than both Steph, or a year younger than Steph, number of years younger than LeBron. He also has dealt with an Achilles tear and some injuries here and there. Who knows? But you're looking at the first basketball team, Team USA basketball team, without either KD or LeBron on it in a very, very long time.
Right.
Like going all the way back to the last team that didn't win it all, right, in 2004.
Yeah, and KD will be 36 in September. So next year, next time,
he'll be pushing 40.
Right, he'll be 39 in LA for the Olympic cycle. And, you know, Steph is just a little bit younger, but not much younger.
And LeBron, 41.
LeBron would be 44, 43 at the next Olympic cycle.
Steph would be 40.
Yeah,
because
LeBron's birthday is the same day as the Caner, my sister, Hurricane Gale, December 30th.
Mm.
So it's actually, if you look at the people who have a birthday on December 30th, it's my sister, and then it's like three or four other legends.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Like who?
I think Tiger Woods is also December 30th. Here, I'll punch it up because December 30th, birthday. This is good radio right now. We both Google it. LeBron, Tiger, Sandy Koufax.
Oh, wow.
And the Caner.
That's pretty good company.
Very good company. They're lucky to share it with Hurricane Gale.
Yeah, meanwhile, Steph Curry, born on Pi Day, shares a birthday with Albert Einstein. How about that?
Look at you. Okay.
Yeah, it's a random piece of knowledge that I have in the back of my head.
314, all right.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that it was Pi Day.
Yeah, Pi Day.
Yeah. Every day is a day now. You know, you got May the 4th and Pi Day and whatever. It's, you know, we've come up with stuff for everything. It's great, though.
Yeah. One other thing that Fitz said, and we always have to make sure whenever Fitz is on to ask him how he feels about the Warriors' chances coming up, because you know you're just going to get an A-plus answer from Fitz.
Did you know that he's played golf with Steph Curry? It's my favorite.
Well, what was it? He came on with Steiny and Goo maybe a couple of months ago now.
Yeah,
I think they probably were asking him about the Olympics ahead of time. And you're like, well, these people are my family.
Totally.
I love these people.
It's just so good. We need to like find a way to get a Fitz Flex sponsored.
Oh, we really do.
I mean, the amount of flexing, and we always, you know, the boop on the station is when anybody drops a name or, you know, tries to brag.
That bit was made for Fitz.
It really was.
Yeah.
It started with Roxy Bernstein, but it was completely made for Fitz because, well, I mean, Bob's done a lot of great things. He's called six Olympic Games.
I mean, if I was as accomplished as Bob, that bit would be made for me because I'd be name-dropping all the time, too.
And if I had golfed with Steph Curry, and I don't even know how many times, but he's probably golfed with Steph Curry, I would guess 20 times.
Oh, yeah.
It's maybe more, and he'd be upset with me if I said 20, and it's really 80, but, you know, it'd be hard for me to not mention, well, you know, when Steph and I were in the rough on 13 at Augusta, boop. Yeah, so anyway.
Oh, man. What an experience that would be. Talk about pressure. I mean, I'm sure Fitz is a pretty decent golfer. Probably not on Steph's level, because Steph's level.
He's a good golfer. He's not on Steph's level, but
it would be pressure-filled if I was golfing next to Steph. I mean, it'd be one thing trying to shoot a ball with Steph on the court, but playing golf, he's nearly as good at golf as he is at basketball. Whew, I don't know about that. But you asked him about his confidence in this upcoming season for the Golden State Warriors, and this feeds into what we were talking about earlier, potentially at getting to a point where if things don't work out well for the Warriors, maybe Steph rethinks his future, because he clearly is just so set on competing and winning and being on that kind of stage like he was on Saturday in the Olympic final. So you asked Fitz about his confidence in this season of the Golden State Warriors, and he said, well, you know, okay, you got the Celtics, who have distanced themselves from the pack. and Fitz is 100% right on that. I agree. But then beyond that, you've got, what, a group of 7 or 8 teams, he said, that you can throw a blanket over, and you say, if things break your way, you got a shot. And all you can ask for in this league is a shot, and Fitz has the Warriors in that group of 7 or 8 that had a shot. But the way he began the answer to your question, Dibs, was saying, quote, you need luck. And as much as maybe there are some Warrior fans, some negative Warrior fans, FPNO calls me a negative Giants fan. If there's negative Warrior fans out there that don't feel like this team is set up to be good and you disagree with Fitz, that's fine. But I think we can all agree, Dibs, if this team is going to get to something this year and they're going to be successful and they're going to compete in the Deep Western Conference, Fitz is right. You're going to need some luck. You absolutely have to have luck.
Yes, and that's going to be the case for all these teams. And I do think that the regular season, while not completely unimportant, but it's less important. I think you get into a top 6 seed and you feel like if you're healthy and you've got veterans, you can go on some sort of a run. And the Warriors were close to it a couple of years ago where you had Sacramento and you beat them in 7, and then you got to the Lakers and that was just one where, you know, a couple of things maybe break your way and you could have gone to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think they would have beaten Denver that year, but
if Lonnie Walker didn't go off.
Right, Lonnie Walker IV had his game and, you know, you had a couple of things not really go your way. But I do think Fitz is right in some way that, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams that are very similar. And even last year, if you look at the NBA standings in the Western Conference, the majority of the teams were about 6 games apart. And then the Warriors just didn't happen to be one of the teams that were in the mix.
Yeah. And they well, it's odd because you could look at it a couple of different ways for the Warriors last year. You could say they had health luck. They didn't really have many injuries. You had some minor ones here and there. Chris Paul missed some time, and you know, there were some moments here and there. But for the most part, the Warriors were relatively healthy. But you can also look at luck a different way, and they were relatively unlucky when it comes to the availability, not including injury availability, but just general availability of their players. And of course, I'm talking about Draymond Green and his suspension. And the first thing everybody mentions when you talk about the Warriors this upcoming season, or when you try to paint last season with a positive note, it's, well, Draymond Green missed whatever it was, 27 games. And if he plays in 20 of those 27, the Warriors win, I don't know, 3 or 4 more. Suddenly they're out right of the play-in game and they're up near the 6th or 5th seed. And so you could look at luck a couple of different ways. What is unfortunate is the Warriors, wasted might not be the right word, but they had a year last year where they stayed pretty darn healthy and they weren't able to capitalize on it. And considering the way that health goes in the league and considering the Warriors are one of the oldest teams in the NBA, if you are that healthy again for another season, that's going to be a major piece of good fortune that goes your way, and it is far from guaranteed that's going to happen.
Yeah, nothing's ever guaranteed, and I think last year you could look at the Warriors season and look at it two different ways. The Draymond suspension was honestly devastating to their hopes, but other than that, Klay was very healthy. Steph was mostly healthy. Wiggins was really healthy. He missed a week for personal reasons, but Kuminga almost didn't miss any games, and Pods was a tour de force, and TJD emerged, and, you know, you look at all the things that did break your way, and yet you were only able to get a 10 seed. So I wonder if you look at this upcoming year, and yes, you've got D'Anthony Melton, and you got Slow Mo, and you got Buddy Hield, and I cannot wait for the Buddy Hield experience just to see what that's going to look like, you know, because there's going to be games where Buddy is absolutely white hot electric.
And it's like 8 for 11 from deep one game.
Right. And then there'll be games where he goes 1 for 14. And it's like, Buddy, please stop shooting. But it's a little bit like Klay Thompson where, you know, Klay has to kind of shoot his way out of it. And I think Buddy Hield is a little bit similar where Buddy's, I mean, he doesn't have quite the same basketball IQ, I don't think, as Klay Thompson. So it'll be one to watch to see how he actually fits in with the overall flow of Warrior basketball. But you do have 3 new vets coming in. Your young players should be playing better. If Wiggins can assert himself, you could have a pretty interesting team.
Yeah, you could be. You're certainly going to be interesting. We'll see if it turns into wins on a consistent note or level or not for the Warriors on the court. But I think this Olympic Games gives us an opportunity to kind of look back on the offseason that was for the Warriors, and something I heard Steiny and Goo debating earlier. And if you missed it, go back on the Odyssey app or check it out on YouTube, youtube.com/957thegame, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Steiny was trying to talk through how the Warriors might be viewing their offseason through the lens of what Steph did in Paris, specifically in the semifinals and the finals. And his whole point was, maybe the Warriors, the front office, looks back on what happened in the offseason, missing on Paul George, not being able to get Lauri Markkanen, and for whatever reason, the reason doesn't really matter, just that it didn't happen is what matters. And then you see what Steph did, and you see still how good Steph is. And you saw his peak in the semis when he scored 36 points. And you saw what he did against France in that fourth quarter. He had 12 points in the final 3 minutes of the fourth quarter, scoring 24 points. In those two games, he went 17 for 27 from downtown in the semifinal and final round. Just absolutely absurd. 17 for 27 is a good mark from the field, a great mark from the field. He did that from deep over the two most important games of Team USA's Olympic run. That's what he did. And Steiny was wondering if the Warriors watching from home, or if any of the front office was out there in Paris watching Steph Curry do what he did, makes them look back on the offseason a little bit frustrated, or maybe potentially even more frustrated than they were, because it highlights that Steph Curry is still good enough to be the number one, the alpha, the lead dog on a team that wins the championship, that is competing in the NBA for titles, and they weren't able to get him a legitimate number two, a running mate beside him. Like, it would be one thing if Steph Curry struggled in the Olympics for the entire Olympic Games, and he comes into this season, and of course no one's rooting for this, but you say, well, he's finally beginning to fall off a cliff just a little bit. But that's clearly not the case. He's clearly still incredibly good, and maybe there's a little bit of a frustration within the Warriors front office that they haven't yet successfully been able to pair him with another star next to him.
It's just not that easy. And like Mike Dunleavy said, trades are hard. And so you think about a trade, and even if it was a Lauri Markkanen trade, which I don't even know if that was ever going to be something that was possible, but you didn't want to give up Brandon Podziemski, and I don't blame you, because you have 3 years of team control of a guy who looks to be, at the very least, a rock-solid rotational player. I mean, I don't think that Pods projects into an all-star, in my opinion. He might be a really good starting player, a guy who you can play 32 minutes a night, and he's probably a winning player in the right situation. So you didn't want to part with a guy with whom you had 3 years of team control, and so that deal was a non-starter. The Paul George trade, and I said this to Willard a long time ago, I never thought the Clippers were going to trade Paul George to the Warriors under any circumstance. You're not going to, you know, Steve Ballmer's not going to look at Joe Lacob and say, here, take my best player and go ahead and win another title. Meanwhile, we're here trying to even make a Western Conference Finals here with what we have. So I never thought that was a possibility. And other than that, what other player out there could you have possibly acquired? I think that the Warriors are in a little bit of a tight spot when it comes to acquiring a player via trade. Not a lot of teams are going to want to help the Warriors out. They're going to make the Warriors overpay in a trade to bring somebody in. So the only other way to do it would be free agency. And last year you were in that second apron, so you didn't even have the ability to go out there and pay top dollar to bring somebody in free agency. So I don't think that this offseason was one where you could look at it and say, well, here's two or three things you definitely could have done to help Steph Curry. And I think Steph knows that. You let Klay go, and that was just, you know, going to be the way that went. I think Klay was ready for a new environment, and I think that the Warriors were ready to turn that page, and so you bring in three new players, and you hope that your team got incrementally better. You definitely got deeper, and so you go into this year, and you think, all right, if we're at least as good as we were last year, and Draymond can control himself, maybe we are a 47 or a 48 win team, and then we're a 5 or a 6 seed, and you know, now we're a playoff team again.
I think you can say the Warriors exhausted all their options this offseason, and we don't know exactly the details of why certain deals didn't happen. You're right. Maybe it was as simple as Steve Ballmer refusing to do business with the Warriors. Maybe it was as simple as the Clippers not being interested in trading Paul George at all because they didn't want to take any money back in return. They wanted to get out of the second apron. That's a very real possibility as well. The Warriors could have exhausted and done everything they possibly could have within reason to make that happen. And then the same thing for Lauri Markkanen. Just because you tried your best and for whatever reason it wasn't in the cards doesn't mean you're not frustrated by it. You still did everything that you could, but you still go into the next season without a legitimate running mate alongside Steph. That's frustrating. But I think for the Warriors, if what Steph Curry did in the Olympics suddenly like makes a light go off in your head and you're like, oh, you come to the realization that Steph is still good enough and he's worth pushing all your chips in the middle of the table for and going out and getting whichever disgruntled star turns up at the trade deadline. And Steph in the Olympics was enough to encourage you to go that way. I'd say that this organization has a bit of an issue because if it took the Olympics to kind of change your thinking, your thought process about Steph and what he's still capable of, then you clearly haven't been paying attention because everything we've seen from Steph suggests that he's still good enough. He happened to display it again this weekend.
I don't think that anybody in the organization watched the last two games of Steph Curry and thought, okay, now we need to really go all in on Steph Curry. Turns out he's still good. I think that they've thought that all along, and I think that the Olympics and the semifinal game and the gold medal game, that for me was more about the world and less about the Golden State Warriors. I think that the world, those people who are not watching Warrior basketball closely, maybe you watch the championship run and you remember Steph and Dre and Clay and KD even, and you thought, yeah, Steph he's the ringleader for that team, but you really saw it now on display in a really stark way because you had LeBron and KD, and at the end of that gold medal game, it was Steph. And yeah, they were on the court, but when Steph hits those four straight threes to ice it, and he hits them with that night-night, that for me was a global message more than it was a message to the folks down there at Chase Center that Steph Curry is still going to be good. I do think that, you know, the Warriors are keenly aware of Steph Curry still having how many years left, but when you watch that display, you can't help but think he might have more than just two or three. He might have four more years, and who knows, it might even be more than that because, you know, barring a catastrophic injury, knock on wood, thank you, Grandy.
You're welcome.
I mean, he is fit, he's stronger than ever before, and his skill set does not seem to be diminishing at all.
And his desire does not seem to be diminishing at all.
Right.
As we saw him unleash endless bellows on the court after making those threes to help Team USA knock off Paris. All right, we can get more into that. And the emotions of all of this, Warrior fans, what did you feel when Steph Curry was in the middle of that run? It was very emotional for me. I know our producer, director of sports behind the glass, Lucas Alexander, was talking earlier before the show, talking about hearing Steve Kerr talk about Steph post-game. It brought him nearly to tears. What did you, Warrior fans, feel like watching Steph? What were those emotions like? Because for me, it was just an overwhelming sense of gratitude for everything Steph Curry has done for this area, for this organization, and for the team that I grew up rooting for. Give us a call, 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibbs. Grandy in for Willard. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. More Willard and Dibbs next. Next here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.